Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be able to join you this morning. Incredibly, our own church is not meeting today as a result. They've just discovered a major gas leak. But thank God that they discovered it and there wasn't any explosions or anything. But today I'm hoping for an explosion. Not an explosion that will bring destruction, but an explosion that will bring life. An explosion of God's Holy Spirit, of understanding. Yes, as Alex said, this Romans 3, it's sometimes a bit difficult to get an understanding behind it, but I'm hoping that the Lord will help me to relay to you this passage in a way that you can grasp it. And the important thing for me here also is that when this passage will help you, if you can get an understanding of this passage, it will help you to convey the Christian message. When you are given the opportunity to share the gospel. We all get an opportunity. The Bible says, what does it say? Make the most of every opportunity. And so Paul's letter to the Romans is relevant to us today. Not just in the theological context, but also in practice. So just to say to those who are not aware of our ministry, I represent a ministry called Out of the Ashes Ministries. We go into churches, we go into schools. I've got a big important meeting on Monday with a secondary school. We're all aware of what went on in Hammerford. We're all aware, I don't know if you are aware, someone went off in Ebervale. You know, the gospel needs to get into schools. So we go into churches, we go into schools, we go into prisons. Ashamedly, I was in prison when I was 12 years of age, so I know what it's like to be in prison. We go wherever God calls us to go to share this good news. Over the last couple of weeks, you've had the bad news. You've looked at Romans 1 and 2, I believe, where Paul writes and basically tells the Roman church that the wrath of God is upon man, is upon mankind. Do you know, we have to thank God for Paul the Apostle. You know, this is, don't forget now, Paul the Apostle, yeah, wrote this letter. 13 epistles Paul wrote. This is his longest. And he's unpacking how important it is to get a firm foundation. Don't know if Graham's got that up there. Wakey, wakey, Graham, come on, focus. A firm foundation. Not in the law, which the Old Testament Jewish believers practiced, but in faith. Faith in Jesus. You know, somebody's worked it out. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but I've read somewhere that somebody's worked it out that within the law, there were 613 laws that the Jewish people had to keep. 613. And never mind the Ten Commandments. I mean, dear me, you know, I couldn't keep one of them. I don't know about you. And so there's this desperation of people following a law that could not bring salvation. It was basically a law that brought religion. You know, religion does not, will not bring us into the kingdom of God. That's what Paul's saying. You can be the most religious person. You can go to church. You can preach the gospel. You can pray. You can give to charities. You can do all these good things. But religion will not bring you or me into the kingdom of God. You know, someone once said, I want to know Jesus, not some religion that looks like him. Massive difference. Massive. You know, the Jews, they were under the law. They were circumcised on the eighth day. They were born, they were circumcised as in a covenant relationship with God. But it was an outside expression of this covenant. Whereas Jesus, a relationship with the living God, is a heart circumcision. Do you know, somebody once said, God cannot use a man until he circumcises his heart, until he's broken him. I'm talking about brokenness in a positive way. You know, I got saved 30 odd years ago. I'll be honest, I was a total wreck, as you know. Drugs, alcoholism, gambling. I'd been burnt at 1 year old, stabbed at 15, hit and run at 24. My dad committed suicide. I was a complete wreck. I was broken. I was broken in the flesh. But when I gave my life to Jesus, he brought me alive. Hallelujah. Alive in the spirit. He opened my eyes. He set me free, even though I wasn't following the law. He set me free in the spirit and opened my eyes to this personal relationship. Oh, praise God for his grace, his mercy. And so Paul, like a skillful prosecutor who stands before the jury and he presents the evidence. He presents it in such a way to dismantle the defense lawyer's argument or defense in terms of the client. And he stands there and he sums up and he tries in all his wisdom to, based on the evidence, not on fairy tales or pork pies, but on the evidence. And that's what Paul's doing here. And you know yourselves, in Romans 1 and 2, man was found guilty. And you know, if we haven't got a relationship with God, if we've not repented of our sins, if we've not asked God for his grace, then we are guilty. And believe it or not, that guilty verdict brings a punishment. It's a tough one. It's a challenging message. It does bring a punishment. I remember myself, I worked in the Crown Court. I worked for the probation service. Unbelievably, when I was 12, I was put on probation. Exactly. And then when I became a Christian, a few years later, God had me go to work for the probation service. I worked in a prison. I started off in a prison, then ended up in the Crown Court. And I'll never forget a judge summing up. The guy had been found guilty, and the judge looked at this guy and he said, look, I can see that you're a trier. You've tried your very best. You look after your family. You've worked. You've been on courses. You've tried to give up this addiction, and you've done really well. But because I'm a judge, I have to follow the sentencing guidelines set down for this particular offence. You'll go to prison for 4 years. I walked out of that court and I thought, dear me, what sort of a summing up is that? I thought we were going to get off. Do you know God is a God of love? Of course he is. John says God is love. He is. Of course he is. but he wouldn't be God if he wasn't a judge. He'd be a liar. And he's not a liar. God is true. So we have to have this real balance. Yes, God is love, of course he is. And we love him and he loves us. But we also fear him. And I'm not talking about a fear that draws us away from God. I'm talking about a fear that's positive, that draws us close to God. Bible says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. That's what a good fear of God does. It helps you to put your toys away and become a man in Christ. God is a judge. Judge. I mean, again, someone once said that sin is like uncontrolled sin is like a tidal wave that sweeps away everything in its path, destroying God's boundaries in your life and in mine. Oh God, keep my boundaries in tune with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And that's why it's so important to keep in even in this book of Romans, if you get the book of Romans, and particularly chapter 3, let me tell you, you will understand the gospel. Because it's all about admitting that we're sinners. It's all about accepting that we've done wrong. Yes, we've committed all sorts of sins, and God sees sin as sin. You know, there's no pigeonhole of sin. One sin higher than another. Heard about a pastor who was walking down the road, and he saw this little lad trying to reach up and ring the doorbell at this house. And he thought, oh, he can't reach it. I'll go over. And he said, you're all right, lad. He said, what are you trying to do? Anyway, he lifts him up, presses the door. The lad presses the doorbell. And the pastor says, well, what should we do now? He said, run! Big sins, little sins. We're all guilty. That's the bad news. Do you know, Paul says here, he says, what advantage is it? What advantage is it there in being a Jew? What value is there in circumstances? What advantage is it? It's a wonderful advantage because the Jews were given the law. Don't know if you can see it on the next slide, Graham. The Jews were given the law. Obviously, you can't see it on the next slide, Graham. Oh, bring me a clicker. Sorry, Graham. The Jews were given the law. Of course, there was an advantage. Out of Judaism, Christianity was born. We thank God for the law. Thank God for Judaism, you know. Thank God that Moses, I mean, what a man of God Moses was, you know. And what trials and tribulations. Moses never ended up in the promised land. And yet the commitment he showed to get the Israelites out of Egypt. I mean, come on. These men of God, we give glory, we give honour to God for. There was an advantage. There was an advantage. And there still is. Do you know, we believe that one day Jews, because there are Jews getting saved today, Messianic Jews, they're coming to know the Lord. But there's a vast number of Jews that are not saved. They're secular. They're very secular. And we've got to pray for them because they are our brothers and sisters in Jesus. You know, and Paul is saying to the Roman church, and don't forget, Paul's never visited. He's planning a visit to go to Rome. But he basically is just preparing. This letter is just preparing his way to before he gets into Rome. But the thing is that he's writing and he's saying to them, you need to know the right way and the wrong way. That's basically what Paul is saying, that we all need to get on the right path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. You know, Paul is asking in Romans 3, he's asking a lot of rhetorical questions. And simply, I think a lot of that is because they're easily, you know, you can understand it. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you can understand a lot of what Romans 3 is saying. You can understand about grace. You can understand about redemption. You can understand about sanctification. You know, God is given us this free gift. You and me, it's a free gift. It's a free to us. But it costs God his son. His son went to the cross to pay for your sin and for mine. I don't know how you're doing with this 20-mile-an-hour thing down here in Cardiff. But we live on Chepstow Road, and it's 3.2 miles from the beginning to the end, all at 20 mile an hour. And the thing is that if I get stopped, obviously I'm going to get a ticket and I'm going to have to pay a fine. You know, can you imagine if I went to that courthouse to pay, or that fines office, and can you imagine if I was about to pay it and she looked and she said, hang on a minute. Somebody came in here this morning and paid this. You don't owe anything. How would I feel? How would you feel? Well, that's exactly what Jesus has done. He's paid your fine. He's cleansed you as far as the east from the west. He will remember your sins no more. Wow. We just have to walk in it. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed, I'm washed, I'm set free. I'm set free from the law, even though we were never religiously taught about the law. I weren't in my sort of sphere. But I'm set free from the law, I'm now walking in grace. And God is sanctifying me day by day as I walk in Christ. He's washing me, cleansing me, purifying me. He's helping me to put my toys away. I'm becoming a man of God. I hope that's your calling. I hope you can say that. God is a great God. You know, there was no other nation like Israel. I mean, they were so special in God's eyes. But you know, you're special in God's eyes. You're special in God's eyes. He loves you. Absolutely adores you. Sent his son Jesus, gave his life for you and for me. What a message. But what an experience. It's not just a message. That message has got to be received. This greatest gift that God gave us, if I give you this, you've got to take it. You've got to claim it. You've got to take it. And you know what? God won't take it back. Looks like I've took it back. You can't look. I don't believe that if you are sincere about your relationship with God, if you're sincere about it, your salvation is certain. Can you imagine living with a mindset that you're certain about your salvation? That's freedom. That is freedom. And that's what Paul wants here for these people, these Christians in Rome. He wants them to start off on the right track. He wants them to gain this freedom. He knows there's a lot of work to be done in their lives, just like there is in your life and in my life. We are not perfect, not even now. Amen? Amen. We're when being made perfect. That's what the Bible says. These Jews were special. They received the law. They received the word of God. They received this word. I love this word. This word has helped me to become drug free, alcohol free, gambling free, to live a life pleasing to God through my relationship with the living God and through his word. Don't pick up the Daily Mirror or the News of the World or whatever. Pick up the Bible. The Bible is life. You'll open the Bible and you think, hang on a minute, dear me, how did that know? Yeah, that's for me. It speaks into your life. The Bible explains. It explains about the character of God. It explains what he's done for you and me. It explains about his son. It explains about the past, the present, but also the future. You know, we're living in dark times. We're living in times of uncertainty. I mean, they're on about pressing buttons. Come on. The Bible knows about the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is coming back. He's going to return. Praise God. And so we need to have a right standing. When I go before God, I'm not going to turn back. When God says to me, why should I let you into my kingdom, Peter? I'm not going to say, well, I followed a bit of religion and I went to church and I said this and I did that. I went around the world and preached the gospel. That's not going to get me into the kingdom of God. I'm going to say, Lord, I messed up in my life. I repented, I gave my life to you, Father. I asked Jesus to come into my life and to straighten my life out, to put me on the right track. That's why I believe God will say to me, come into my kingdom. Do you know, the Jews, the Jewish nation were a blessed people. Blessed. They also had the prophets. The prophets, wow. I mean, obviously, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the church. And I do believe that the prophetic voice is still in the church. But is this church using that prophetic voice? God has given some gifts of evangelism, gifts of pastoring, gifts of wisdom, gifts of miracle healing, gift of prophecy. We have to use these gifts. The Israelites, the Jewish nation, had the prophets. You know, and these prophets, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, wow, these were mighty men of God. But they were all focused not on themselves. They weren't about themselves. They were about God. They were about the vision. The vision that God had given to the nation of Israel. I want to say this, church. God has given this church a vision. And it might not have come through a prophet. But God has given this church a vision. What is that vision? Can you, in your heart of hearts, say this is our vision, Peter? A clear, clear vision. I know what my vision is. My vision is to preach the gospel, to tell people that they don't have to remain in their sins anymore. That they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they can be drug-free, alcohol-free, that they can stop committing adultery, they can do that, they can be free. That's my vision. I'm an evangelist. That's my vision. That's my gift. You might not think so, but God says I am, so that's it. He said it. That settles it. I don't think about with respect, I don't think about what people think about me. I think about God's calling on me. And so should you. Don't let people label you. You are who God's called you to be. God called Paul. Wow, what a background he had. He had everything, didn't he? He had wealth, he had intellect, he had all the certificates, the BAs, the MAs. He had everything. But in reality, he had nothing. Because all he had was temporary. And it was on a dark, dusty road, that his life changed. Are you on that road? Are you on that road today? Your life can change in an instant. I gave my life to Jesus on a telephone. Confess my sins down the telephone. Thank God for BT. My sister was on the other end, shared the gospel with me. I cried out to Jesus, hallelujah. I got, you know, and then I started to build, just like Paul's telling these Roman Christians, to build on the truthful foundation and not on any heresy. There were some false claims going around about Paul. He was saying to them, look, build on the truth. So much stuff out there, isn't there? There's so much stuff online. Discern what you're taking in. The prophets of God, they brought the word of God. They brought the vision of God. God has got a vision for this church. My prayer is that you'll see the fulfillment of that vision. If, you know, it might be passed on to the next generation. I know that you're looking for a pastor. Keep praying, he's on his way. Keep praying. God's timing is not our timing. You know, we pray, don't we? We pray for, and we're desperate. Oh, we want to see this prayer answered. For years, Sarah and I prayed for our son. Oh man, did he go off track? Oh, unbelievably. We were like, oh no, look at this. 3 or 4 in the morning, he's still not in. Oh Lord, please. Last year he gave his life to Jesus. Amen. He's in church this morning up in Newport. Come on, answered prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God's promise upon your life is also upon your children. It might not look like it, but it is. God just ain't called you, he's calling your family. Yes, they will have a choice to make, but let me tell you, our God is faithful. He's faithful. Whatever he starts, the Bible says, he will complete. He'll complete it. God is an amazing God. Paul went on to say that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Next slide, please, Graham. But through Christ's atonement, we can be saved. And I love that scripture there where it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but to everyone to come to repentance. It's about his timing. Jesus came at the perfect time. Your prayers will be answered if they're in line with God's will at the perfect time. Do you know, we've got prayers. I write goals every year. First week in January, I will write out my goals for the year. And there'll be all prayer requests. Yeah? Oh, talk about encouragement. When I look back, I've got them all on my phone. I see tick boxes after tick boxes. And I've been doing this for years. Absolute years. And don't forget, when I became a Christian, I was a total wreck. So you can imagine the tick boxes that I've got in my life. What an encouragement. You all know how I met Sarah. How Sarah fell in love with me at first sight. Actually, she turned me down. But then she had a revelation. And she accepted God's will and our will. And we were married. Let me tell you, I've got a woman of God in my life that I thank God for. I'm not ashamed to say it. Just like Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is a power to salvation for all those who will believe. It's power. Don't think I've got power. Oh, you're joking, aren't you? I'm weak in my own strength. Confirmation for mum. I am weak in my own strength. I am. I don't mind admitting it. But in Jesus, I can do all things. In Christ, who strengthens me. See what I mean? When you plug yourself into a relationship with God, when you connect, when you allow the Lord to circumcise your heart and you come before God, wow. All things are possible. All things. Do you know, this relationship that we have with God sets us free. Sets us free from all sorts of things, but it sets us free from the devil's traps. Sets us free from the devil's claim upon our lives. Thank you, Lord. Sets us free. You know, we were slaves to sin. But Jesus has set us free. We're no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. We have the power to walk away from sin. To say no. Yes, it's a challenge. Of course it is. Don't think I'm saying it's easy. But you have the power. You have the strength. Because God has given you that strength. It says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When God looks at you and me, he doesn't see our heart. He sees a heart of Jesus that's living in our hearts. Jesus has imparted himself through the Holy Spirit into us, into our beings. So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's why you're saved by grace. That's why, because in the flesh, we've had it. But in Jesus, God receives us and accepts us. Oh, you know, it is a mystery. There's no doubt about it. However, through the work of the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying to this church that on the right foundation, you will be saved. You will grow and mature into a man and woman of God on the right foundation. Just like there were false prophets, false teachers in those days, Paul was writing to this Roman church in chapter 3, instructing them on the truth. The truth. Always follow what it says in the Bible. What I'm saying this morning, check it out in the Bible. This is our roadmap into eternity. Do you know, just on this final summary, on the last slide, please, Graham. Three things about Romans. Three, the gospel, we've discussed it, is a gift from God. What a beautiful gift, Lord. What a beautiful gift. I didn't deserve it, Lord, but you gave it me. Thank you. We should always rejoice and be thankful for this wonderful gift. Never stop rejoicing and being thankful for what God has given you and me. Just look back in the past in your life, how God's grace, this gift, has transformed your life, and that will encourage you. David, King David often did that. Look back and saw the wonders and the blessings of God. The gospel is a free gift, but it cost Jesus his life. He gave it for you and for me. Salvation is a gift we receive alone, through faith and alone. Through faith alone and in Christ alone. You can't work your way into heaven. It's only by grace. It's only by believing, through faith. Faith in something. Jesus said, didn't he? He said to the disciples, you've seen, but what about those who have not seen? That's faith. Believing though you haven't seen. But let me tell you this, when you come into a relationship with God, you experience that power you know you've seen. That convinces you that you have a mighty God watching over your life. And finally, the gospel has freed us from Satan and death so we can walk in newness of life. Guys, I hope and pray that you'll go home and you'll read Romans. Do a study on it from. I mean, to be honest with you, this letter that Paul wrote, it wasn't meant to be shared in sections. We're sharing it in sections here. It's like, could you imagine getting a letter, a love letter, and just reading it and reading the first few sentences, then putting it down, then reading it the next week? Are they reading it? You don't do that, do you? You'd be so excited about it. You'd be like, oh, get to the end of this. Ooh. That's Romans. To be read in its fullness. So do it in your own, do a study on it in your own time. But Paul was such a massive encouragement and still is. So let's give God the glory for Paul's mission in life, and thank God that he surrendered. He lost everything. But he gained everything that was nothing, but he gained everything that was everything. Somebody once said that the Israelites, they might have been living in Egypt, but if they'd have had Jesus in their life, Egypt wouldn't have been in them. Is Cardiff in you? Is prison in me? Is addiction? No, I'm free. Satan has gone. Yes, he might have a little bash, a little, you know, but he's defeated because of Jesus. I've got a few books at the back there. If you haven't had a copy of my book, Out of the Ashes, if you want to sponsor a copy, obviously it helps our ministry. Just to say that I am now being supported by four churches up in Newport as a part-time evangelist, praise God. But it all goes to help support our ministry in getting this gospel out. I wouldn't mind spending some time in Cardiff. So if your church wants to pray about coming on board with these other churches, it'd be great to hear from you. But let's pray and just thank God for his presence. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between black and white. And whatever culture we come from, whatever background we come from, Father, we've discussed today. You love us, Lord, and we are a family. And we thank you that, Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Thank you for keeping us on this path. And if we are going, tend to be straying off it, Lord, raise some red flags in our heart, in our hearts, Lord. Set off some alarms in our hearts, Father, that we recognize. Because we want to keep on this narrow path. Even though it is narrow, we want to keep on it, Father. And we can't keep on it without the help of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, in these times, these challenging times that we're facing in the world, help us to keep focused on you as we wait patiently for your promises to be fulfilled. Just like they were told in the Old Testament, the prophets shared about the coming Messiah. Father, we know that Jesus is coming. And we're waiting patiently, Lord, for that amazing day that's going to take place. The greatest day in history will take place. We bless you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen.